Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
To finish the game -3 last week and not to create any takeaways was disappointing. We've certainly shown that we're capable of doing that through the first couple of games, but by no means are we where I think a good ball-hawking defense needs to be at.
That was Falcons head coach Dan Quinn, and we're not talking badly about the Falcons.
My Falcons?
Andy and Randy. Chuck Rea.
Yeah. Oh, he's got Squid Billy up in his feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the worst thing he can do is, like, tell us not to.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah. We're about to. Oh, yeah. This might be a fun hour.
We're about
hour.
That life, aren't we?
This might be a fun hour.
Yep. Hey, Brian, when we get to the next break, can you turn up the volume out there in the bullpen? Lordy. What's trending? Andy and Randy Chuck are in for Andy Bunker here today. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn talking about creating more turnovers. You know, we talked a lot about this last year, is that there were some opportunities for more turnovers, especially interceptions. Didn't happen. They were one of the bottom teams in the league, I believe, at creating fumbles, Randy. Yeah, it's one of those things that it's what Dan loves. He harps on it. What'd you say? All about the ball?
All about the ball,
put
baby.
Put that on your bumper sticker with everything
that's
else.
I mean, that's the motto of his program, the ball. That's what it's all about. And they have not done a good job of it. And not to say that they can't get it done, because, like you said, they dropped some passes, dropped some interceptions, could have changed the outcome of certain games. But, yeah, it's just something you got to work at. And I think a lot of it, If you get the production from those two outside guys that we're hoping that you get, you're going to get some sack fumbles.
You know, we talked a lot about that's one of the most frustrating things about this team last year was there were opportunities there, and when plays were there to be had, they just didn't make them. You know, I mean, the Desmond Trufant drop, I mean, the Debo play, you know, against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You know, those are plays that, man, you don't know how they can change. I know what the play against Cincinnati would have done. It would have sealed the game.
Yeah. Game over.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, when you don't make those plays, right, it's easy to say create more turnovers. But at the same time, I don't know how you necessarily create more. But more importantly is when the play is there.
You got to make the play.
Yeah, make that play right there.
That's the biggest thing is when it's an opportunity to make a play and end the game, you got to do that. And they had an opportunity a couple times. You think about the – think about three games that they probably could have won because you got the just wrap up Drew Brees.
Yep.
You got the drop interception against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And you got the drop pick six by Debo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of games that you could have been turned around. Could have been, with all those injuries, could have still been a playoff team.
Yeah, there were plenty of games to be had out there.
He's a guy who's an explosive player for us. He can block the play for 4 or 5 yards, and he can make it, you know, a 25-yard gain. Same thing in the passing game. He's dynamic when he's got the ball in his hands.
So that is Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan talking about Devontae Freeman's importance to this team. You know, you talk about guys that Randy, if they can bounce back, you know, more than just defensively, but Devontae Freeman does so much for this team, obviously, both in his rushing attack, but, you know, we were looking at some numbers the other day. I mean, when you got a running back that's had seasons of 73 and 55 catches, what do I always say? You can't dumb your way to those kinds of numbers.
Right.
Can he still be a 50-55 catch running back for this team?
Yes.
Well, he gets 55 catches for this team. Holy cow.
I just look at it like this, and me and Andy were talking about this. Like, you know, if you can get him at, let's say, 1,500 yards total offense, you can win with that. You can win with that because that's going to be right over 1,000 yards rushing, and then, you know, putting in the 400 to 500 yards as far as receiving yards. If you can get him there, you got a good chance. But the thing with him is, I think I said 275 just total touches. That's carries and catches. I think that's what I said.
That's only like if he catches, let's say, 50 balls, and you said how much? 275?
Yeah, I think I said 275.
Okay, 220. Okay. That's not a bad number for That's not a bad number.
Yeah, for him. And that's what I kind of calculated off of, but yeah, I mean he's so vital.
All right, so if I put the over under at 12 and a half games played. Where are you going?
I'm going to go over.
I am too.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to say 14 is about the number. I think he'll miss a game here, miss a game there. I think 14. If he can, honestly, Randy, if he can play 14 games for this team, they'll be fine offensively.
Yeah, they'll be all right. But I'm trying to figure out, find his stats.
But his numbers go, if he goes down to, you know, 8 or 9 games.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, there's going to be some trouble for this offense. Because as much as we talked about the backup running backs and stuff like that, it's a definite drop-off. And I don't care if that's Hill. I don't care if that's Allison. I don't care what. You pick whatever one you want out of there. That's going to be end up being a big drop.
Because you look at the Super Bowl year, he had it. He ran the ball 264 times.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean,
yeah, he touched it a whole
220,
lot.
220 means he probably Randy played about 12 games.
Yeah, he touched it a whole lot.
Yeah, but he also had in that Super Bowl year. Was it 55 catches?
Yeah, 54.
54 catches. Because the year before he had 73. He had 120.
Oh, I'm sorry. Super Bowl year, he was right around 275.
Yeah.
Total touches.
What was the catches back-to-back years? He had like 120.
He had 73 and 15, and he had 54 and 16.
So he had 127 catches in 2 years.
Yeah. Whew. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's a pretty strong number. Pretty strong number.
You have to have that in today's game. You got to have depth. You got to have guys that can fill roles. And we've definitely had that this year.
That was Braves catcher Brian McCann talking about the depth through the organization. I'll say this. At least I don't have to hear about prospects and stuff like that. Because
it's getting real. That almost drove us crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That drove us up the wall talking about that, you know. Oh, this kid Acuna, boy, you got to wait till you see him. Oh, this Sean Newcomb, he's that guy. Thank you. They're here.
You know why Pasha and Waters won't be up right away, right?
Why is that?
Because, you know, we got to have control over him.
Oh, yeah. Whatever that stupid rule is. Yeah.
Your arbitration control and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. We don't want to get too excited about all of that kind of stuff. You know, this coming off the Rafael Ortega Grand Slam. I mean, look. When you get those moments in time for a team, you know, that's doing what the Braves are doing, you say, why not? You know, I mean, if it's that kind of – when you're getting those kinds of moments in that kind of season, you have to say, why not? Why can't it be the Braves?
I don't get it either. But, I mean, everybody just, you know, wants – you know, maybe they don't want to have that disappointment. And I guess, whatever. And, oh, the Braves did make a move the other day. They did get Billy Hamilton. I think they got him off waivers for the Chiefs. I mean, sorry, they call him the Chiefs. The Royals.
Yes.
And from what I'm hearing, this dude is a flat-out jet on the base.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's like the fast – I mean, he's like if there's any guy that you could think would be like a 100-steal guy, it's Billy Hamilton. But here's the problem. Can't steal first base. Okay? I mean, that's been his problem is that – when you're like a, you know, I don't know what his career stats are. I'll bet you he's barely over 300 for his on-base percentage for his career.
It's just the fact you got to get him on.
296? Yeah. Didn't I tell you?
Yeah.
So when your on-base percentage is 296, all that speed don't mean a whole lot.
Yeah, but like Brian just said in my ear, you know, he's a pinch runner, you know, a late game substitution in outfield.
So maybe. He's Herb Washington. Okay, great. He's Skeets Nehemiah, huh? Okay. All right, great.
But he can roll. You got to get him on.
Yeah, except that he never gets on base. I mean, that was his problem in Cincinnati. Was that, you know, didn't he, Brian, I want to say, if you got his stats up in front of you, Brian, what was his best stolen base year? About 50? Is he still 50? Yeah. I mean, he had 350 stolen base seasons.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But again, if he would just get on base at, let's say, a 320 clip, that could have been about 80 or 90 for him.
Four of them. 454.
Yeah. I mean, he can run, man. That's his signature. His signature is he's really fast on the bases, and he can't get on. He looks good running the bases when he is on, except he never gets on first base.
Right.
But it sounded good.
I think Coach Pierce did a good job, you know, explaining that. I feel like I can come in and take some of the pressure off of Trey, you know, with the ball handling and stuff. Obviously, he can do it all. So, passing, I'll be able to play off the ball and, you know, really just play my game overall, and I'm looking forward to that.
Hawks rookie Cam Reddish talking about his role with this team coming up. So Randy McMichael, in an NBA annual survey of rookies, Cam Reddish was chosen to have the most successful career, receiving 19% of the vote, followed by Ja Morant of Memphis at 16% of the vote. DeAndre Hunter came in with 11%, And Zion was all the way down at 5% of the vote. Poor Zion.
Oh, man. Poor Zion. Oh, he just, you know, he can't catch a break. He just got the...
Did he wipe the tears away with $100 bills? Is that what
exactly
he did?
Exactly what he did. Okay. But, I mean, again, who cares? I mean, I hope it does come true. I hope Cam is a big-time baller for this squad or whatever. But this, to me, it makes no sense because I think a lot the consensus is that, you know, Zion will win Rookie of the Year and all that mess. But, hey, if Cam can come in and give you something, because he's a guy that can be that secondary ball handler for you, can shoot the ball. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well at Duke, but a lot of people say that, you know, that he probably was struggling with being that third wheel because he's always been that number one guy, can never get his rhythm going. So we'll see how it works out when they get here. I'm really enjoying this young squad, this young core of guys that Travis Schlenk, who just got a promotion, to president of basketball operations as well as general manager. I just really like the players that he's brought in the style of play they're trying to do.
The talk about Reddish was he's got the NBA physique and everything like that. Does his game always kind of match up to what his body is?
Right,
I mean, there's those moments where it kind of looks like he's never played basketball, and then, you know, at times he looks like he could be, you know, a star in this league. So, look, in the NBA draft, you roll the dice, you hope for the best. You have to hope this is where your coach and general manager have an idea of what they have. By the way, too, texter saying about how you can steal first in the minors. That's an experiment in one league.
Mm-hmm.
There is a league in the minors that it's an experiment, though. It's where, you know, any passed ball for any reason, mm-hmm. you can go to first base.
Correct.
Which is the dumbest thing. That's the most millennial thing of all time.
Why?
Because it's just dopey.
Okay. Well, all right.
So every time a guy drops a ball, a guy can just start running to first base.
Why not?
It's dumb.
Okay.
Hold on. This is the guy that doesn't like them changing the extra points and all that kind of stuff.
I just asked a question. I wasn't saying you were right or wrong. I just like, why'd you got a problem about it?
Because it's dumb.
Okay. Enough said. It's dumb. All right. Enough said.
Guy's got a 2-0 count, and he can just take off down to first base.
I said
with
no.
The robot umps.
I thought you were talking about when the catcher drops the ball.
Anytime.
Oh.
Anytime there's a pass ball or wild pitch, he can run to first.
I never had a problem with that.
Yeah. Okay. Change up the rules. You like the robot umps they got down there,
too? Oh, I hate that. I hate that. Because my thing is I want to see what's going to happen if, say, the robot, you know, gives you a bad call.
Can you throw dirt on
water
it?
The water on it?
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah. So instead of, like, coming out and kicking dirt like they used to do in the old days, you can bring a cup of water out and just dump it on the robot ump.
Why not?
Yeah.
Take them out.
Well, listen, you know what's going to end up happening, right? You know how that ends with the robot umps.
What's that?
Oh, Will Smith drives his motorcycle and the stadium has to shoot them all up. Well, I saw the movie. I know how it works.
Okay.
When you let the robot start doing everything, I know exactly
Will
how it
Smith.
Works.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't see that where he had to come in with the guns on the motorcycle and he's shooting all the robots?
What movie is this?
You didn't see iRobot?
I never saw iRobot. Never.
Really?
Yeah, I never watched it.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
I think I saw the beginning of it, then I stopped watching it. Yeah. I thought, Brian said I'm not missing anything. Yeah, I think I watched
it. It's not a bad movie.
I think I watched
for a Will
first,
Smith movie?
I think I watched the first couple minutes, and then I stopped watching.
Compared to some of that other stuff that he's done?
What, you didn't like Wild Wild West?
Or the third Men in Black?
That's pretty bad, wasn't it?
That's a cash grabs, man. You know what? He probably got paid like $25 million for that. What are they doing? They're doing like Bad Boys 9?
Right They're doing now? Another one. They're doing another Bad Boy.
Okay. Think that's cash grab too?
Yeah.
Is that one of those things to help out his buddy Martin Lawrence?
Or is it the other way around? Because yeah, they told me that he had to convince Martin to do it.
What do you mean? No, that's what I'm saying. Is that to help out Martin?
But Martin didn't want to do it. It's like Will had to go to Martin.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Is to help him, to give him a cash grab.
Probably. I mean, why would you look out for your guy? I look out for you.
You do?
I hooked you up for the fantasy football thing, man.
Oh, yeah, with eighth pick.
Yeah, the turn.
And then you were yelling at me on Saturday.
Yeah. I wasn't really yelling.
No, well, you were fussing at me.
No, I was fussing at you because, it just got you back in the plus and you want to act up.
I didn't do anything.
Over Channel 46.
No, Channel 2.
Whatever it is. Obviously, I don't watch it.
But you know enough about you follow me around.
Because of you. Yeah, because of you.
All right, when we get back, our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, is going to join us.
Joe Patrick is going to join us after I have this read right here. All right, hey, fantasy football players, we invite you to join us at 929 The Games Fantasy Football Summit, where John Freaky has the number one pick at Twin Peaks of Buckhead on Saturday, August 24th. Get advice from Yahoo Sports' own Brad Evans, Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network, and fantasy football's own Liz Loza. Get the insider scoop for fantasy football on August 24th. live from Twin Peaks, noon to 3. A lot of us will be out there. Plus, join us to win awesome prizes, including fantasy football title belt and tickets to the Atlanta Falcons home opener versus the Eagles. For more information, go to 929thegame.com.
We said Joe Patrick when we get
Smoking
back.
Joe.
Andy and Randy. Chuck Rea and Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Back in the Kia studios with you. Andy and Randy. Chuck Rea in for Andy Bunker today. 404-741-0929. So our phone lines are Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Start getting your questions in. We'll do an AMA coming up in about 20 minutes from now. So start to get your questions in now. Don't forget, follow the station at 929 The Game. You can see our draft order for our fantasy football event coming up at the Twin Peaks and Buckhead this coming Saturday. So the draft order has been set. Thank you to Randy Mack for doing all of that. I mean, for all that work you put into.
It's my pleasure. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that. You know, I just wanted to make sure that this is a great event. Sure wish I could be out there, but unfortunately I am calling Cork and Kel, me and Chris Grofford this weekend. But you guys have fun.
Yep. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Can't wait for Justin.
Yeah.
Braves tonight start a three-game set against the Florida Marlins. Here to help us figure it all out on the waitfor.com hotline. He is our Braves reporter.
Joe.
At 92.9 The Game. Two Mike. He's now known as Two Mike, by the way.
Two Mike?
Yeah, Two Mike. Yes.
Two Mike.
Yes.
Joe, Mike Joe.
Right. Yes. Joe Patrick joins us on Twitter at JAPatrick200. Follow him to get all your Braves information. Yeah, Randy, he's on the microphones for everybody now.
All right.
Yeah. How's it going, Joe?
It's a cluster, as they say, in the in the clubhouses and in the locker room sometimes. So everybody in the media is out to help each other. So whenever we can get a chance to do that, we'll always hold microphones.
Okay.
I hear you, Joe. Mm-hmm. I hear you, Joe. Joe, give me – we were just – me and Wendy, we were talking, and she wanted me to ask you about this. Are they officially done with the – you know, as far as the pitcher rotation, they're done with that experiment?
You mean the starting rotation?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the starting rotation is actually shaping up to be in pretty good shape. I think what you got with Mike Foltynewicz is kind of exactly what you wanted to see with him coming back. Now – You can argue about, you know, whether his the runs he's given up or whatever, you know, that's to be debated. But I think what you've really seen from Mike Foltynewicz that you really like since he's come back is when he's gotten into trouble, things haven't kind of exploded. You've seen him remain pretty calm. I thought his last start was one of his better ones because he got into some situations. He wasn't able to go very deep in the game. He was out of there after five innings, but he really battled, you know, and things didn't really go his way against a very difficult team in the Dodgers. He was obviously had the most difficult pitching matchup you could possibly have going against Ryu, and he really just battled his butt off and you know, gave the Braves the chance to win the game that they ended up doing. So I think that if the bullpen can shape up like they have these last few outings, then, you know, what a guy like Foltynewicz can give you is really positive, and I think he's got every shot to be making postseason starts here.
Joe Patrick joining us on the waitfor.com hotline. Joe, is there any kind of, what do I want to say, maybe a little bit of scuttlebutt or, you know, kind of under the breath talk about, you know, we're at 134 innings for Soroka, 131 innings for Max Fried. So obviously, you know, that load management thing, rosters will expand here, you know, relatively soon. But, you know, has there been some chatter at all about what they want to do with those two guys and maybe skip a start here or pull them a little bit early? I mean, you know, what's been kind of the talk about that?
I mean, I think we certainly might see that if, you know, when the Braves clinch, they might try to get them a little bit more rest, take some inning burdens off of them. But I think that Brian Snicker has been aware of trying to manage these guys throughout the season. And obviously it became a big sticking point in the first game against the Dodgers in that series when Soroka came out after, I think it was 95 pitches, and obviously then Sean Newcomb came in, issued a walk and a three-run homer immediately, and the game kind of unraveled from there. So I think that's part of the management of these two young pitchers is that, you know, Brian Snicker is trying to, you know, get them out in situations where he feels like he can survive. In that particular instance, you know, it was the wrong button to push at that time to bring in Newcomb, but I think that it's something that Brian Snicker has been looking at all season. And, you know, when we talk to these guys, they are ready to go. Like, no, I don't think there's anybody worried about it with the organization or the pitchers themselves. I mean, Mike Soroka constantly talks about how he feels great and he wants to, you know, stay in there and he loves those situations. So I think we've actually yet to see the best from Mike Soroka just because, you know, we haven't really seen him push the limits. And I think that when you get into the playoffs, you know, he'll be able to pitch in a lot more of those high leverage situations in the later innings or later into his starts. And I think that will really just help the club. I don't think there's any kind of issue with them in terms of innings limits or anything as they head into the playoffs.
So the last two games that we saw against the Dodgers, you're back in the rotation 7, 8, 9. It was the same order: Chris Martin, then you went over to Shane Green, then Mark Melancon. I know they brought Shane Green to be the closer, but as long as this is working, why try to mess with it?
Oh, that's exactly right. And I think that, you know, they've kind of hit on something that it seems like it's working. Now, of course, Shane Green might get an opportunity to close here and there if maybe Melancon has gone a couple of days in a row and he's unable to start. And that's what having all these guys, you know, that's the great thing about having all these guys that have closing experience. Even a guy like Luke Jackson could be an option for you to close still if you need him to do so in a situation where maybe Green and Melancon have both pitched, you know, a few games in a row. So you have a lot of depth there, and you're starting to, over the last few games, develop some confidence in these guys. And it seems like, most importantly, they're showing that confidence in themselves. You know, Green has been, you know, a very, very fiery figure. He's pounding his chest after he pitches a clean inning. So it's kind of fun to see that. And I think that's part of the reason also that Brian Snicker prefers Melancon in the closer role, just because it seems like he has a little bit more of a calm head on his shoulders, and won't get phased when he's in, you know, some situations that might not go his way initially into his outing. So I'm liking the way that Brian Snicker has kind of managed these guys coming in. Everybody's kind of acknowledged that it just takes some time to settle in. And even Sean Newcomb told us that, you know, it's an adjustment for the guys who were already here, too. When you bring in guys to now come in and pitch the late innings that some of these guys like Newcomb and Luke Jackson were accustomed to pitching, you know, it's an adjustment for them as well. They have to start getting up and getting warm at different times of the game. So I think that it's all starting to hopefully kind of shape together and could form into a very formidable bullpen.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Andy and Randy, as we're on the WadeFord.com hotline. John Trequi in for Andy Bunker. It's our Braves insider, Braves reporter Joe Patrick joining us here. You know, Max Fried is very interesting because I don't think many people maybe know he's second in the National League in wins. He's got more wins than Kershaw or Ryu, and Castillo has had a great year. Nola, take your pick. I mean, only Strasburg has more wins, and that's by one in the National League. But, you know, you look at what a difficult July and June it was. ERAs over 5 for each of those months, and May wasn't great at over 4. But, you know, here in August, 3-0 with a 2.01 ERA. The number that I'm getting impressed with too, Joe, and I want to get your thoughts about kind of where he's at, you know, as well. You know, his strikeouts and his strikeouts per nine, you know, 26 strikeouts in 22 innings this month. You know, he's up over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings so far on the year. That's a really good number for especially, you know, young guy and this late in the season. So, you know, you talked about Soroka, but Fried, man, I mean, it looks like he's starting to evolve and it's really starting to come together later in the year.
Yeah, I think it's been a huge year for Fried in terms of just maturing as a starting pitcher in this league. When he got off to a rip-roaring start to the season, was super hot, was, you know, striking everybody out. Everybody loved talking about his spin rate, and then things kind of wavered, right? Like you mentioned, you know, things kind of wobbled for him a bit, and he became a very up-and-down kind of guy, a guy that you didn't really know exactly what you were going to get out of in any given start. There was just not that consistency there. And now what we've seen is, you know, the Braves have won his last 6 starts, and he just seems like he's more mature and able to get through some of those bumps that happen that, you know, that can occur during his starts. It was funny when we talked to Brian Snicker on his last start, he gave up 3 runs in the first inning, and he said, and Snicker said he told Mike Soroka to go talk to him to kind of like calm his head, because that's something that's plagued Mike Soroka this year, has been giving up those runs early on in the game. So it's been interesting to watch Fried evolve. And I think, like you said, I mean, he's definitely looking like he's going to be involved with the rotation, which sounds obvious right now, but it wasn't so obvious, you know, mid-season when things were bumpy, whether he was actually going to solidify himself as a playoff starter for this team. But he's definitely put himself, you know, solidly in there. And the Braves, like I said, like they have lots of guys pushing. You know, Julio Teheran has been solid most of the season. He's obviously going to be a name in contention to get a start in the playoffs. You brought in a guy like Dallas Keuchel. You have Mike Soroka, who's been a Cy Young candidate. So there's lots of options, lots of guys that are in position to make starts, and it's going to be up to Brian Snicker to kind of determine, you know, which guys he feels like he wants to put out there. And this, again, this is all assuming that the Braves do end up making the playoffs. But, yeah, you have to love what you've seen from Freed over these last, you know, like I said, his last six starts that the Braves have won at each one of them.
Hey, Joe, this guy, this is Heath Rivera. He's been playing well at the shortstop position once, you know, they moved Camargo out of the way. But our regular shortstop, the guy that we've been looking forward to when they come back, when they just said it's going to be a day, now he's been gone all this time. Any status report on Dansby?
Yeah, he's looking good. I mean, he's ramping up his baseball activities, so he's been out on the field jogging, he's been taking ground balls. He's really starting, looks like he's starting to get back into the groove. I know he's feeling better, so I think he's going to need a rehab assignment. He's just been out too long not to have one, so I don't think we'll see him in this Miami series. But you'd like to hopefully see him be on the road with this team when they leave town, you know, for a game against the Mets on Friday. You'd like to see him be with the team on that road trip if possible. But if not, you know, I would think that the most likely time we see him back is when the team has a day off on Monday, next Monday, and then they play in Toronto. I think that's more likely when we see him. But he's definitely progressing. Looks like he'll be back, you know, sooner rather than later, which is very good news for the Braves because it was an injury that was kind of, you know, it was nonspecific. It was kind of, you know, very vague, and so it's good to kind of see him finally returning from that because sometimes those injuries can just be chronic and linger on and on. You just don't know when you're going to get them back.
Keep up with him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. He covers the Braves for us. Also does some stuff for Atlanta United as well. Joe Patrick, join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, Mr.
Appreciate
Two
it.
Mikes.
Appreciate good, it, guys. Joe.
Talk later.
There you go. Yeah, he was helping WSB hold their microphones the other night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You really paid that close attention to it.
Well, like, I saw a 92.9 The Game microphone in right. The shot, and, like, they kept, like, having multiple microphones. And I was like,
So you got jealous of that, huh? Because you don't get to hold the mic.
Excuse me?
Hey, high school football fans, tune in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this Saturday for live play-by-play coverage of the Metro by T-Mobile, Corky and Kale Classic at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'll be there. Chris Goforth will be there. The top high school football teams from around the state of Georgia face off. For more information, visit 929thegame.com.
Coming up next, time for Ask Me Anything, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Fire away your questions at JMCH316, at RandyMack81, at 929thegame. Lots of platforms to get them in on. We will answer them all next. Andy, Randy, Chuck, Rian, Sports Radio, 929thegame. Back at the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Andy and Randy. Chuck Ree in today. The rest of this week, actually, with you. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I encourage you to text your questions in to us. Don't forget the AMA. This hour brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org. Also, to at JMCH316, at RandyMack81, at 929 The Game. All right, Randy Mack. On Twitter, our buddy Rusty asks us, will you guys go see Coming to America Part 2 when it comes out?
I will not go see it. Oh, that's right.
But you don't go to movies anyway, so what difference does it make?
Oh, it'll be, I mean, I'm going to see it.
No, I'm not saying you're never going to see it, but I'm guessing he means when it first comes out.
Yeah, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, on Fire Stick.
Yeah. Right. Nah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded good when you said that, yeah. Oh, I'm Ohio. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know you, Randy. Yeah. You ain't that hot, bro. I can't imagine spending like $36 on tickets and like $25-$30 on drinks and going to see Coming to America.
Why
too.
Would you? Well, what damn movie theater are you going? Oh, yeah.
You know, I got to take somebody.
Oh, yeah. She don't go to regular AMCs, huh?
No, it ain't no dollar store.
She'll go to.
Listen, if I'm going, to, you know, North Point Mall where they have the big leather seats.
Yeah.
So that's $36 for tickets and $30 for drinks. So,
yeah, please.
Yeah.
She can't go to the regular one?
No.
Bummer.
Yeah. Don't work that way.
Bummer.
Randy, what do you most like about calling high school football games?
I like calling games in general. That's my biggest thing. But I enjoy watching the young players.
So why haven't you gotten more into that?
Opportunity, you know. And, you know,
have you pursued that?
Not really. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Not really.
Tough to get.
I enjoy doing this.
You can't sit at home cooking on the grill and think.
I do a lot of it at home. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm watching games and stuff at home, I do a lot of it at home.
No, but my point is
I know what you're saying, but I enjoy doing this more than I do the play-by-play. So when the play-by-play and the opportunity comes up, I'm always ready to jump at it because, you know, I got to call two bowl games last year, so hopefully this year I get to call three.
Oh, we know you're Brian Estridge's favorite go-to bowl game guy. I mean, we learned that. Yeah. Thank you, Randy.
No problem.
Favorite kind of pie? This sounds like an answer for, you know, WWE.
Pie?
Yeah. Do I give the Rock's answer?
I don't really eat a lot of pie. I guess you say apple. Yeah, I don't really eat a lot of pie.
I enjoy a good peach pie.
Okay. Peach cobbler.
Yeah. I won't say the Rock's line with all that. I don't want you to get kicked off. Coconut cream is a pretty good pie, too. Kind of underrated. Fast forward 3 to 4 years. Do you think Jeff Collins will have built Georgia Tech to where they will be a consistent top 25 program year in, year out?
Yes. I do. Yeah, I think Coach Collins is going to get the kids in there, man.
Consistently top 25.
Yep.
I think it takes longer than 3 to 4 years.
You think
that's one recruiting class.
Well, my thing is, I think they're going to get some. I think when you're looking at what they're going to go, what's going to go on in Tech, they're going to get the transfers, the kids from Atlanta that want to come back home, probably 4 or 5 stars.
Right.
Just like they got the kid from Notre Dame. I think that's how it's going to start, but you're also going to get some prospects in here.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just think consistently top 24, 25. You know, what have you, I think that takes more than 3 or 4 years. I think he can do that with this program. Look, there's no reason why the program itself can't be that.
Right.
I think 3 or 4 years might be asking a lot. Since Randy has a show on another station in another state, will he admit to being part of the media?
No. What are you talking about?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know.
I know you're on John Clayton's SiriusXM show. I know you're on Dog Nation Daily.
I know you're down
in Miami all the time.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Lose a finger or wow, that bad, huh? Lose a finger or feeling in your hand.
Lose a finger or lose feeling in your hand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't need two fingers, really, do I? Yeah. I'm good.
Hey, John, if you don't pick Justin Hardy at 8, who you pick? Nobody. I'll forfeit my pick. It's Justin Hardy or bust.
There you go.
Then again, I may take Vic Beasley.
They can't take defensive player.
Why not?
I don't know, but you can't do that.
I'm the Georgia Rattlesnake. I can take whoever I want.
Yeah, okay.
Does Dan Mullen bring a championship to Florida? Does he bring a natty to Florida?
No, he's not going to be there.
Wow, he's not going to be there?
No.
He's leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Who gets tired of Florida first? Dan Mullen gets tired of Florida, or Florida gets tired of Dan
Mullen? Florida gets tired of Dan Mullen.
Yeah. I mean, they fought this the whole way to find out where they said.
Exactly.
You know what? Dang, we should have brought him in 3 years.
Exactly.
Should have brought him in 3 or 4 years ago. It says, person you want to stunner the most at the station.
You go first.
John.
Why frick? Y'all better leave Fricky alone,
why
man.
Why not? Just so he knows what it's like to have one.
Yeah,
just out of love.
Probably.
Just out of love.
Probably Carl.
Really?
Yeah, probably Carl.
I thought it would have been Mike or Squid.
See, Mike and Squid is too easy, and I thought about both of those guys, but that's just too easy. So I just,
if you give it to Carl, the two other guys get the message?
Yeah. That's what it is.
I always like when I'm on the show that we always get the wrestling questions, by the way, too. I always enjoy the fact that we get more of that. Let's see. Will the Italian kicker Tavecchio make it through the year for the Falcons, or will we see Matt Bryant back?
Well, you won't see Matt Bryant back.
No, I agree.
Now, the Tavecchio thing I can't guarantee, but Matt Bryant, he will not be a Falcon.
No, that ship is
there. Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate everything done.
Yeah.
What movie remake would you actually want to see?
Oh, man, let's see. What movie remake would I want to see? Let's see. Maybe. Ooh.
That's a hard one because, you know, they're talking about so many different remakes that are coming down the pike. Like, they're making Home Alone again.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Why can you make Home Alone?
By the way, that picture of Macaulay Culkin on his couch is pretty
unbelievable.
Good. That was pretty good.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Maybe if John Singleton can make
it. I'm telling you, you and I, are in our lifetime, you understand.
Boys in the Hood or something.
You understand, in our lifetime, yeah. I'm telling you right now, because they flirted with the idea, by the way, of a Dirty Harry remake, but I'm telling you, they'll make a Lethal Weapon remake movie.
No, they won't.
Now that they've had a TV show, you watch and see.
No, they won't.
You watch and see. By the way, the new James Bond movie has a title, No Time to Die.
Okay.
That officially has been released, and there's a quick promotional video with it. Favorite snack?
Oh, man. I love me some potato chips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hard to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
very missed them so much.
Nowadays, my favorite snack is I have the little snack packs of the almonds and walnuts and the dried cherries and dried cranberries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my new favorite snack. Randy, is John the oldest millennial that you know?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, you look at if y'all knew him the way I knew him when we first met, when we first started working together.
Three heart attacks.
Because it was I was like, dude, ain't no way in the heck this relationship between me and Chuck was going to work. And he damn sure did. And now, yeah, he's changed. He got hair on his face and going to $30 movies and buying Brian Top Shelf liquor. He's changed. He's changed.
Yeah, them Screech Alpharetta get expensive.
Yeah, man.
Especially when you don't work. Favorite football movie? Favorite football movie?
Mine was probably The Program in Any Given Sunday.
Wow. I'm trying to think. Maybe the original Longest Yard.
I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, with Burt.
Love
not the Adam Sandler, but with Burt. That might be up there. You know, I wasn't as big into like The Program or Varsity Blues or those kinds of movies. Or even Remember the Titans.
I love Remember the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, they were okay movies. I just wasn't as into them as some others. Will Georgia Tech beat Georgia this year?
Hell no.
Did somebody really ask that, by the way? Yes, they did on Twitter.
Yeah.
What's the best barbecue joint in Atlanta?
I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing don't sleep on Fat Matt's over here because Fat Matt's is tremendous.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to take your word for it. Fat
Matt's is pretty tremendous. There's some good ones out there. Why do you hate Oren so much, Randy?
I love Oren. I do.
But you've RKO'd him.
But I RKO'd him.
He got hit by a train.
He got drowned.
He drowned.
Yeah.
He got ate by a megalodon.
Yeah.
He got burned up in a fire.
Yeah. Oren, you know how I feel about you, brother. You know, it's just that he puts me in a situation where I can't save you. That's all.
Somebody said Running Man remake.
I thought they did that already.
I thought they made it.
You sure they're going to make a Running Man?
Who would have played Schwarzenegger in that movie?
No, it wasn't Running Man. It was Total Recall. That's what it was.
Total
Recall. Total Recall.
That got like one of the worst ratings of all time,
garbage.
Too. Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I turned it off. It was garbage.
Oh,
it was garbage.
God. Oh, that hurts my heart to even think
maybe
about
Delta
that.
Maybe Delta Force.
Ooh, that wouldn't be bad.
Maybe a Delta
Force.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, you can't do that kind of movie today.
Why?
Because of the types of terrorists. You can't do that. That's politically incorrect. Yeah, you have to find somebody else to shoot up. All right, we'll wrap things up. Hand it off to Mike and Carl, Andy and Randy, Chuck Rian, Sports Radio, and Enter the Game.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back at the Kia Studios with you on Andy and Randy, John Chuck Rian for Andy Bunker this week, Randy Mack. About to get ready to hand it off to Carl and Mike, but it is takeaway of the day?
Yes, our takeaway of the day. Wendy's takeaway of the day is don't date Tennessee fans on Craigslist. You know about the story we heard about the
you
guy?
You sure you want to even date on Craigslist at all? Because they kill people on there.
They kill people on Craigslist. Yeah. Brian's takeaway of the day is if you want Justin Hardy, you just have to make sure that you get in front of my man John Chuck.
Yeah. Don't draft Chuck past 8th.
Chuck is thinking about drafting Justin Hardy.
Thinking. He's got the best hands on the team. Why wouldn't I take him?
Yeah, and my takeaway of the day is that after all that posture and everything, that John Fricke is going to end up winning this fantasy league. I just have this feeling that John's...
Are we actually playing a league?
I think whatever this is, I think that John Fricke is going
to... So once we draft a team, we're playing a league the whole year?
I don't know. I mean, why would we draft then, John?
Just to teach people how to draft in the fantasy league, I thought. Okay, so we got a whole league with it.
Yeah.
I got to keep up with all of it?
Yes, you got to keep up with it, man. You got to take care of your team, man. All right? I mean, the only person they say that doesn't do that is Carl Dukes. And maybe talking about Carl is, you know, he's fine as long as he's winning. But once his team start losing, then he don't want to play no more.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
He plays with all kickers at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they told me.
He's got DeVecchio at quarterback.
Yeah, that's what they told me. It's like, hey, man, don't play no fancy league with Carl. Because, first of all, you got to keep after him to keep setting his lineups.
See, this is how things get started. These false accusations.
I don't make rumors. What you say? I don't make up rumors.
I don't start about.
As we say in the wrestling podcast, there will be rumor and innuendo.
First of all, I will take you back to when this radio station started fantasy football. The first year we had it, I won it. The second year, I came in second. The last 2 years I've played in Mike's league, I've been decimated by injuries. Come on. Let's understand what's going on here, fellas.
Oh, so this is somebody else's fault.
So you had Robbie Rosenhaus helping you. Wow, Carl. My takeaway is, by the way, that there's going to be some trash talking coming up between now and Saturday and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is it going to be some fighting, though? Is it going to be some furniture moving?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, because I'm
on Hugh's side.
They asked the tag team. They said, me and you versus Andy and Hugh. I told you can handle Andy.
Oh, yeah, he's done. I'll stunner his ass.
Hugh has no lateral movement, so I got Hugh. As long as I go inside, he's not a removal zone.
Listen, as soon as I'm done with Andy, I'm coming with the folding chair. And that's what it, and the ring bell. And the ring bell. And the.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.